We are every time grateful for every word that we read, in that we can deepen ourselves, that we may inwardly agree with from the heart. And I think that it is an indescribable grace to have this connection to God and His Word. I had to think about when John began to write the last book of the Bible. He said in chapter 1, Revelation chapter 1, in verse 2, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. I'm still thinking about this morning with great pain, especially about the fact that again and again people are found who think they have taken the wisdom of God with spoons. Here we are clearly told that John was brought to the Isle of Patmos for the sake of the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ, and that we have only one task, which is to read, to take to heart, to keep the words that he heard and wrote down, and to add nothing to those words, lest the plagues be added to us, to take nothing away from them, lest our share in the tree of life be taken away from us. And so may all who come here in this place under the sound of the word really adjust themselves inwardly to the fact that we cannot and will not do otherwise than believe, proclaim and hear God's word and do accordingly. If someone is looking for something else, then he is not exactly in the right place here. Perhaps I'm saying this because the dear sister spoke to me after the morning service and referred to the last pages of the Seals book. I don't know if I will read exactly what was in my heart or mind, but I will read from page 349, the first paragraph. For just as it is written, that no one will know the hour of his coming, so no one will know the mystery of the seven thunders. Is that enough for us? It should be enough for us. And if anyone then comes even forward to the platform and says that all this has been revealed, then either the intellect is not quite right or the mind is corrupted. If God has said that it is not to be written down and thus remains a total secret, let us leave it that way and see to it that we comply with all that God has said in His Word. Then we will have our hands full if we comply with everything that God has already revealed to us from His Word. John testifies to the same thing in the same chapter, Revelation 1, in the last part of verse 9. I was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. You can believe us. There are people on earth who are born of the seed of the word, and they cannot help it that they have the nature of Jesus Christ in them and are united to God with this divine nature through the word and the spirit. And every interpretation has to bounce off us. We cannot be part of any interpretation. I would like to read some words from the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah 23, verse 21, and then verse 28. Jeremiah 23, verse 21. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran, sometimes even too hastily. A true prophet, he still hesitates, and he has a hard time. But the others, they have time, day and night, to mess up houses. Here it says, I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. I was also told here in the front that this is a prophecy. Who are the prophets? If they have something to say, let them come here and prophesy here in this place. And then, with a good conscience, without judgment, let us test what is said by the word, and then we will see whether it's true or not. Somewhere in the closet, where there are a few old aunties who don't know where the sun rises or where it sets, it's easy to do that. No, in the house of the Lord, where God's word belongs, that is where it should be brought. And if it is from God, then it will stand before the lights and perfections. You know, in the Old Testament, there was the Urim and Tumim. These were the lights and perfections. If anybody said anything, then he had to come into the temple, and then he had to stand before the breastplate. And if what he said was from God, then the lots lit up, and there was light. Therefore, lights and perfections, these two terms, lights and perfections. But if anyone said something and the light did not shine, yes, what then? Then they could say whatever they wanted and the light still wouldn't go on. Then they could pat him on the back and say, that's where the bricklayer left the door open, right? Lights and perfections. Here is light and perfections. Here it is not a man who judges. Here we all have to face the divine judgment of the word. And whoever is afraid to face the judgment of the word here, how will he dare to meet the Lord on that last day and face the final judgment there? But hear what is written in verse 22. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. Then they would not have made wind, but would have proclaimed my words to my people. And he who is of God speaks God's word. Thus it is written. And the prophet Jeremiah specifically had the argument with Hananiah and so on. People who presumed to be prophets and also played the role like that. Only the calculation didn't quite work out. And then it goes on to say, here in Jeremiah 23, verse 28, the prophet that has a dream, let him tell a dream. It can happen that someone has a dream. And if the dream comes true, then one no longer needs to interpret it. Then it has certainly been confirmed by the fulfillment. But then it continues here. And he that has my word, let him speak my word faithfully. But it doesn't stop there. The sentence goes further. Let him preach my word faithfully. He does not turn the word upside down here or there or apply it incorrectly, but to whom my word has been given, let him preach my word faithfully. And then actually comes such an example that is easy for all of us to understand. And it goes like this. What is the chaff to the wheat? There is a very big difference between the wheat and the chaff. And the Lord asks us here, what has chaff in common with wheat? And here we must say, without being arrogant, that many thresh chaff without wheat being gathered into the garner. And this we don't want. We want that God can call out people, pardon and bless them, who are willing to serve and follow Him. And we want to make a clear distinction here between dreams and between the word, and between the chaff and between the wheat. We want clear, God-given statements that we find in the Word to be set forth just as clearly with the same Word as evidence, so that all may receive divine instruction. It then goes on to say, is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. And that is the order of the day today. The words of the prophet are stolen from here and taken from there. And then this and that is done with them, because none of them is sent by God. If they want to fulfill any task, then they have to steal the words of the prophet and then add their own words to make the porridge really nice. And anyone who was at home for just a little while at the prophet's school and didn't sleep all the way will immediately start screaming, "Death is in the pot!" When such mixing takes place, there is nothing but spiritual death in the pot. And therefore, no mixing must take place, but God's word must remain clear and pure. It goes on here, "Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongue and say, He saith." Yes, they present what they proclaim as God's sayings, and they say to the poor souls, "But this is very important. God has spoken this. It must now be carried out." And the poor people begin to tremble and now think they have to take this threat seriously. No, only before God do we have reverence, and only before His word do we bow. For only His word is the truth. Everything else must be subjected to scrutiny. Then, of course, it goes even a little bit further in verse 32. "Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them, and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. These are, of course, very serious words. They have no commission. They mix it up and make it a lie, and then tell it to the people of God. What concerns me, or what touches me, or moves me inwardly, is the fact that it is written here, and they tell it to my people, and the people listen. All it takes is for someone to come and to make himself important, and revelation here and there, and already all are listening, without one noticing that people have no commission at all. Oh, I almost forgot. Here Brother Branham said so warmly and so sincerely, which I am also very sincerely glad about, that if he has not already done this ministry, then he has at least laid the foundation for the one who would come and who, yes, amen, very nice. And whoever reads this correctly will know very well that Brother Branham was expecting another ministry, and that this one phase formed the basis for the next. The Holy Scriptures have only known to tell of seven messengers in the right hand of the Lord, not of eight or nine, of seven. I have seen and read this in the Word already many years ago, when the first came on the scene in 1968, and he said, I am now the successor, and so on. Then I already told him, in the right hand of the Lord, there are only seven angels for the seven churches. If you think you are the eighth, then I ask you in whose hand you are. In the hand of the Lord, there were only seven. And if this is beyond the number of seven, in whose hand is the eighth, ninth, or tenth? No, it doesn't work that way. God's Word is the guideline for us and will remain so for eternity. There's only one thing, that we faithfully administer what we have received from God, passing it on, and distribute spiritual food in due season, and do not misunderstand things. You all know, Paul also spoke in the third person in 2 Corinthians in chapter 11 and said, I know of a man who was raptured to the third heaven, whether he was outside the body or in the body, I do not know. But one thing I do know, that he heard words which cannot yet be uttered here. And whoever reads the thing correctly could say, Paul, you were this man, right? There's no need to look for a third. Then you go to the sender and you know that you have the right addressee. That's how it was sometimes with prophets. Also concerning Brother Branham, he said it clearly and expected great things from God. And we really believe that the great things that are to happen in the bride will be directly connected with the second coming of the Lord. And great things will happen there. I am 100% convinced of that. The bride church will be crowned with the greatest victory of all time. The whole victory of Golgotha will be manifested. I received a phone call probably the day before yesterday, and I was told how it is with the word that tells us that at the return of the Lord, our soul and our spirit, together with the body, shall be preserved blameless and perfect. I haven't even looked it up yet, but it's written something like that. And that's how it will be. God has redeemed the whole man. It has not yet been manifested that our bodies are now somehow already included in this program of God. But we have read it here, and we know what the Holy Scripture says about it, namely in 1 Corinthians 15, and we have to wait until that hour strikes, and then our bodies will also be transformed. 1 Corinthians 15, I'm reading here from verse 45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. Verse 49. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. These are promises that God stands by, that God will fulfill as surely as He has said. And as we now come earthly after the first Adam, so we all come spiritually after the second Adam, after Jesus Christ our Lord. And as we earthly bear on us the image of the first Adam, so shall we all bear on us the image of the heavenly. Paul does not leave us in the dark about this either. He says here in verse 53, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. See, that's what we are waiting for. We are waiting for that, and it will happen because God has said so. But we have to actually wait for the hour and the moment to happen. Not when we want it, but when God wants it, it will happen. I would like to read from the Gospel of John to underline the importance of the Word and of remaining in the Word, so as not to fall into any interpretations. In the Gospel of John, in chapter 15, the Lord says, perhaps we'll read from verse 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you.
Man muss
You have to absorb the Word of God, and this really with all your heart, without any resistance. Only then do we have within us the proof that we have become one with Him. In John 17, verse 14, it says, I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. As children of God, who have received the word, we cannot expect recognition in this world. On the contrary, we must expect rejection. And if we do not have it, we must ask ourselves how it is with us. There was no prophet who was recognized in this world, not even our Lord. All who have spoken in the name of the Lord have been rejected. And as it has been said here, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. And then we also know what our Savior said in John 13, verse 20. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send, receiveth me, and he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. We read in the prophet Jeremiah that men ran without having a commission. They spoke without God having spoken to them, and they misled the people. And the Lord says, if they had stood in my counsel, they would have proclaimed my word to my people. I think that is also very clear, that everyone who is sent by God proclaims the words of God. And the words of God have always come to the true prophets, and we do not make the slightest secret of it, and will be careful not to hide it, that God had a special man also in our generation, such as has not walked this earth for nearly 2,000 years, a man sent by God with a divine message to bring the people of God back to the Word of God. It was him who showed that all denominations have deviated from the Word and have fallen prey to their own interpretations. But now we too must be careful that we do not fall prey to our own interpretations once again. And you may believe this now or not, but I hope that my brothers from Poland will not pass on what I'm about to say. But there a brother fell from a construction site and was of course dead. And right those people who emphasized the revelation of the seven thunders, they held a festival of joy at the cemetery. They cheered and shouted as much as they could, so that all the unbelieving world no longer understood what could be happening on earth. Beloved, every person who is a believer knows how to behave at all times, in all places. People who are believers are the most pleasant-natured people. And if anyone is even a little theatric, you can avoid such a person. He who is truly spiritual will be natural in natural things. And whoever cannot be completely natural in natural things, whoever thinks he has to be spiritual in natural things, is on a different track. He has to switch back. He has to set a new course. The spiritual person judges everything and is not judged correctly by anyone. But he can basically fit himself into any situation without attracting attention. Have you understood that? This is very important. If a believing person stands out somewhere in earthly things, then watch out. Then something is wrong. Believers will act naturally in natural things. They will act earthly in earthly things. They will have both feet on earth and their hearts in heaven and connected to God. This is very important. Those who cannot do that, but think they always have to be pious, and they always have to put on a long face, and they always have to say something, even if it doesn't fit at all, then we'll probably have to accept correction. But let us come back to the ministry that God has given us in this generation. From the bottom of my heart, I am one of those who are most deeply and sincerely convinced that there has not been, since the days of Jesus Christ and the apostles, a ministry like the one Brother Branham had. This was ordained of God, because we are now living at the end of the time of grace and have come into a prophetic age, that the divine plan of salvation may be proclaimed and set forth to us by divine revelation, by a commissioned mouth. But woe unto us if we have the spirit of idolatry and then make something out of the man. Also, this exists as in the days of Moses, when Moses stayed 40 days and nights on the mountain. There the Israelites said to Aaron, "Make us a God who goes before us." And so it was. We all know how quickly that happened. He said, "Give your earrings, your nose rings." And so he pulled them by the ears and laid them by the nose and then made the golden calf. And then he said, "Look, this is our God who brought us out of Egypt." Yes, but that's not all. Do you know what the worst thing was? That the people made music, cheered, and shouted. And when Moses came down from the mountain and he hears this shouting and so on, he thought at first, there has been a great victory, and this victory is now being celebrated. And when he came closer, he saw that it was not a great victory that was being celebrated, but a very bad, idolatrous defeat. The Lord God had just said, "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness, either of things in heaven above or of things in the earth beneath." The Lord God had just spoken this, and already the commandment was transgressed among the people. And exactly the same thing has been repeated in our generation. In the twinkling of an eye, one does it in the camp of God, among the people of God, because the others are not more foolish than the believers. Right? We all know that. No one is more gullible than the believers. And everyone means well with them. And that's not how it is. In the twinkling of an eye, a new teaching is celebrated as a revelation, and the people fall for it. And there's rejoicing and trumpeting. And people think, yes, that's a glorious thing. What is glorious about it? Who was here in Holland at that time when everyone received the spirit of Michael to fight for us? I wasn't there, but there were two or three of us there who watched it. People fall on the floor and think, this is the power of God. They are beside themselves, stretch out all fours, and think that this is now the special blessing. May God place us on sound feet of faith and give us grace to discern all that is man-made. Because for the most part, the enemy is behind it. And it always goes back to the tree of knowledge. And in it, as always, is death. No, we want to summarize here what this weekend was about and what it is actually all about. Namely, that God's word abides forever. And this word is not here to be interpreted and bent and made right by everyone. The word is here for us, that we hear it, receive it, and believe it from the heart, and to expect God to do to us according to His word. He has promised so, and so it will be done. When we then read certain scriptures, then we still have to wait and see how God will bring them to fulfillment in detail. It is not you and I who watch over the word of God, but God Himself watches over His word to make it come to pass. So it is written. I think the same prophet Jeremiah, probably already in the first chapter, he was told there that God is telling him that He is watching over His word. Yes, of course. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 11 and 12. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. Then said the Lord unto me, Thou hast well seen, for I watch over my word to perform it. Amen. We too must see correctly. The Lord must be able to say to us, You have seen correctly. And if we have seen correctly, then He will also call out to us, Yes, I am watching over my word to perform it. And here is the mystery. Since we have been ordained by God, as the word bridegroom was, so we too are to be word bride. Now we have to receive the word into ourselves. And when we have received the word of divine promise into us, then God not only watches over His word, then He watches over His word in us, in order to realize and fulfill through us the word of divine promise that we carry within us. That is the great mystery. For this purpose, we have heard the words of promise and have received them into ourselves. I will read a bit on. And the word of the Lord came unto me the second time, saying, and so on. One could read very much. What we want to do this weekend is to make it clear to the world that we have neither time nor use for any interpretations. We are not meant to run after certain interpretations or uncertain interpretations. We are meant to receive the word of promise or the words of promise into ourselves. And therefore, we can be sure that God is watching over His word to make it come true. There are people who desperately want to have the rapturing faith. Yes, who wouldn't want that? But I tell you what the rapturing faith consists of. All faith, no matter in what reference it might be, comes from hearing when it comes from God. And every faith that comes from hearing comes from the Word of God. And if it comes from the Word of God, then it comes to us by the corresponding promises that God has given us by grace. And all the promises of God are yes and are amen through Jesus Christ our Lord. What does it mean? Just like people who are sick and want to experience divine healing, they need to hear the word of promise with reference to divine healing. And through hearing comes faith, and faith brings the miracle. The power of God becomes effective through faith. I have told you here before that I am one of those who would rather cry ouch than ask God for healing. That's just the way it is. But when I was very careless last week on Thursday evening, when I was tidying up, I shouldn't have tied it up then. If I did, then in the house of God, but not in the garage. In any case, two thick iron pipes fell on my right foot. Three were there, and one was longer, two were shorter. I took one and didn't think that the others would automatically fall down. And they both fell so hard on my right foot that I actually couldn't walk. I could not walk. The bruise is still nice to see today, but I could not walk. I tried to get a grip on the heel somehow. Even that didn't work without screaming. And now the meeting in Salzburg was ahead of me. The meeting in Zurich was ahead of me. And at the airport, I wanted to be driven in a wheelchair because I couldn't walk. And it was a big trouble, a really big trouble. But I knew that I had caused it. And now, burdened with guilt, coming to the Lord was not easy. But fortunately, I arrived in Salzburg. The dear brother supported me and brought me so far that I could help myself. But do you know what happened then? In the evening, before I went to bed, I cried out to the Lord and said, "Faithful God, if I have to go to the meeting tomorrow like this, then your children will be disappointed in me and their faith will be shipwrecked. I can't go like this. And it was literally like that. I could neither walk like that nor stand like that. And what can I tell you? In a short prayer, I laid it down to the Lord and said, Faithful God, all authority has been given to you in heaven and on earth. I have been careless, I have acted foolishly, have mercy on me, but help me. And now you can take me at my word. I wake up the next morning, and no swelling, no pain. I get up as if nothing ever happened. As if nothing ever happened. And you all know that I'm really very sober. You don't have to tell me that first. But I was happy about it. Because imagine, yes, sister, you were also in Salzburg. Now, if I had actually got in there with one foot, then some would certainly have gone out again on 2 feet. And that was not to be. God doesn't want us to bring dishonor to Him. Even if sometimes we do things we shouldn't do, He is faithful. He has given the promise. What we ask Him for, He will give. And especially when we call out of a need, when there is no need, prayer is a bit superficial. But when there is a real need, then we cry out to the Lord out of our need. And then we wake up the next morning. And do you know what scripture was fulfilled there? He provides for those whom He loves even when they sleep. That's how it can happen. God's word is fulfilled. While we sleep, He lets the healing process flourish. And we get up the next morning and we say, What is that? And I rarely jump, but I tried it a little bit, how it works. And lo and behold, it was all good and has remained good until now and will remain good. Our Lord is faithful. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Dear brothers and sisters, who among you feels the bond with the Lord and with the Word of God? Say Amen. Amen. This must be in our hearts, not just an endorsement with the intellect, but actually a faith of the heart that animates us, that makes us happy and blessed. The faith in Jesus Christ makes us happy and saves us. We have heard His word, have added nothing to it, and will not do so in the future. We will wait because of the promise and with the intention that when the time comes, God will do what is right in a right way. He says, You have seen rightly. I watch over my word to make it come to pass. Of our Lord it was written, I will not leave His soul in hell, nor suffer His body to see corruption. So it was written, and God watched over the word. His soul did not remain in hell, and His body did not see corruption, because there was a promise for it. And God watched over His word to make it come to pass in the first fruit. And God is watching over His word today, which we carry within us and have received. If I may say this to you, if I can't believe anything easily and simply, then I can believe that at the return of Jesus Christ, our mortal bodies will be changed. I can believe that with all my heart. I have less trouble with that than with the smallest little thing that is to be healed. The same God who said that, and please remember, that will be an hour where not some believer will stand there asking and saying, "Dear God, couldn't you?" That is then the hour of God in which it has to happen, because the return of the Lord presupposes it, or in connection with this, it will happen that those who have fallen asleep in Christ will rise first. Who can believe it? They will resurrect, and no one will have to make an effort to believe. They have already gone home in faith, and in faith they will rise again. God will see to it. And we who are alive and remain, yes, then we will not be worried. Then we will rejoice and jubilate and see God's word to us confirmed as true. Suddenly we look at each other and behold, it has already happened. The age is no more to be seen. Gray hair no more. No one. All young. Suddenly, a transformation has happened. I believe it, because God's word says so. When our Lord comes down with a commanding shout, the dead will rise in incorruption, and the living will be transformed, and together will be taken up. You all know what that one lady said who was terribly overweight when a preacher was talking about how we all have to be really light to be able to float up. Then in the middle of the sermon she cried out, "My God, what will become of me then?" The poor woman weighed 150 kgs. Of course it was a bit much. But we know that the Lord will transform. He will make an end of excess weight and restore us to youthfulness. Can you believe that? I believe it 100%. This is what God has said. That's how it is written. His word remains true forever. He is watching over His word to fulfill it. And we will all witness it gloriously. Praised and glorified be His holy name. Hallelujah. Amen. Let us stand up and thank the Lord together. Brother Frank said, maybe you have something else to say. I was just thinking that maybe we should heed all the words that have been admonishing us in these hours. We should really take them to heart. We should take them to heart and act upon them, do them. I believe it is not a man who has spoken, but we have heard God's word. And we have also heard that God's word is always right. And we believe that with all our heart. We as human beings may fail. Brother Bram said in one sermon, "I can make mistakes, but His word can never fail. It remains. And we have heard nothing else but God's word. And it will remain. And we must indeed take care of ourselves, as our brother said, that we remain within the limits of the word. That we remain with the word. Otherwise, it may happen to us, like all the others. But God doesn't want that. And we don't want that either. We want to go with Him when He comes. And I think these are the hours of preparation, because we know that His coming is near. We have also heard, we don't know when the time and hour is. But we may perceive it because of the word and the events as they all happen. And the man of God has said it again and again. and even he did not know. But also the apostles were already very attentive to it, the people in their days, that the coming of the Lord is near. But we have now arrived very close to that time, and may the faithful God give us all grace that we take these words, especially those spoken this afternoon, very much to heart, because many, they go out to mislead the people of God, to make them believe something that is not in the plan of God at all. That is not in the plan of God at all. And I also listened to the tapes a bit. And one can only say, as the word says, my sheep hear my voice. And I had to say directly, this is not the voice of my shepherd. That's not the voice of my shepherd. No. And you know, then you can't follow either. But I think we could all follow the word of God today in these hours, because it was his voice, not the voice of a man, his voice that has spoken to us. To his name be the glory. I am very grateful for his precious and holy word. I always examine myself and always feel very unworthy. And I think if we all examine ourselves by the word, we will all feel unworthy. But we have heard, he has chosen us and he has spoken to us. Yes, we are grateful to God for that. Amen. Maybe we sing the chorus, always faithful to Jesus. Let us all worship together. Brother Schmidt, perhaps you will come forward. Let us now worship together and give glory to God. We will raise our voices together. Then Brother Schmidt will pray. O Lord, we thank you. We worship you, faithful God. You have done great things for us. You redeemed our lives from destruction. You crowned us with grace and mercy. You have chosen us before the foundation of the world, that we should live holy and righteous, separated, consecrated to God for time and eternity. Beloved Lord, we have heard your word. Your word is our food. Your word, our light. Your word has become everything to us. Beloved Lord, bless mightily. Go through our midst, Lord, through our ranks. Take away all unbelief. Take away everything from us. And glorify your name yourself. Confirm your word. Faithful Lord, praised and glorified be thou. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Praise God.